Hallelujah. All right, y'all can be seated. I am so excited about being here. We did a little trouble getting here, and I'll tell you about it in a second, but I love Trinity Church. I do. I think this is my second most favorite church in America. I mean, it really is. I love Pastor Carl and Gloria. You got some awesome pastors, the Winklers, all the people that y'all have here. Just, I love your elders. I've met with them several times, and I just love this church. My son-in-law, Gabe, is from Lubbock, and so I like him, so that makes me like Lubbock even more. I'm not saying I want a vacation here, but, you know, I don't want a vacation in Dallas either. So anyway, I'm just so excited to be here. I was so grateful when Pastor Carl called and asked if I could be here. I'm really excited about what I'm going to share. I've had a crazy day, and I think because it's been so crazy, I think it means God's really going to do something. The plane that I was supposed to be on is landing right about now. And this is the literal truth. We got a plane I called Southwest Airlines and said, we're not going to make it. And they said, we have no other planes. They've all left. Okay? Melody goes up to the gate, talks to the attendant there, and they say, there are no other planes. They've left. You can't do it. And so we're going, man, what are we going to do? But she keeps hearing, I'm studying and praying, and she's been hearing this deal about a flight to Lubbock. So I walk over to this other gate down the hall, and I said, is this plane going to Lubbock? She goes, it's leaving in 3 minutes. And so I run over, and there's like hundreds of people in the airport because so much delays. So I run over, and say, excuse me, and I break in front of about 30 people, and I said, I got to get on that plane. And they go, okay, like that. And I mean, the guy's fumbling around. He goes, well, you're not in the system. I go, what do you mean I'm not in the system? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, the plane that was leaving, they took it off the board, so no one knew that it was. Anyway, so this lady next to him says, I'll handle this. And she hands me my ticket. She goes, nobody else going to Lubbock on this plane. Seriously, we were the last ones on the plane. And so we get here just a little while ago. We go to the hotel. There's 1,200 firefighters in the hotel. And so I walk in the lobby, and there's all these people waiting for the elevator. And so I push the button, and it's already pushed, but I push it again, you know how it is, to make sure. I'm just waiting, and we got to get over here. And so I said, this guy walks up at the hotel. I said, do your elevators work? He said, well, you'll understand here in a second. So the elevator's open, and all these firefighters come off the elevator. And so there was other people there, but we had to get over here. We got here 2 minutes before the service started. So we rush into the elevator, we push the button, we go up the second floor, and half our people get off, and about 10 people get on. We go to the third floor, we're on the 14th floor, we go to the third floor, people get off, more people get on, and they're all firefighters, fourth floor, fifth floor. I go, what is going on? They said, there's food on every floor. They go, there's broiled shrimp on the fourth floor, there's barbecue on the sixth floor, we got chicken wings on the eighth floor, and beer everywhere, you know? I mean, just... So we get up there, throw everything, get ready, come back down, and we're not going to make it. So we walk down 14 flights of stairs. I'm serious as I can be. Now, past this guy, he said, where are you going in such a hurry? I said, I got to go speak. I'm going to be late. He goes, well, hey, here's a beer. He said, you'll speak better. I said, I don't think that's going to work. So it's going to be a crazy day, but all that means to me is God really has something big planned, and I'm really excited. I mean, I'm excited about this. So I'm on the plane, I'm getting ready, so I pull up my Bible, I start reading it, and I'm in the last seat on the plane, literally at the very back, and I pull up my Bible, start reading it, and this guy says to me, hey, what are you reading? Just like that. I said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, the Bible? He said, you don't believe all the stories in the Bible, do you? And I said, well, of course I do. It's the Bible. And he said, what about that guy that got swallowed by the whale? And I said, well, you mean Jonah? Yeah, I believe it. It's in the Bible. He said, well, how do you suppose that he survived for 3 days? And I said, I don't know. I said, I guess when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. He said, well, what if he's not in heaven? I said, then you can ask him. We didn't talk after that. I needed to study, so it was, you know, one of those things. So anyway, so it's been a crazy day, so I want to just stop and pray for just a second. Can I do that? Just invite the Holy Spirit to come and do what he wants to do. Father, we just come in Jesus' name, and Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and touch your people. dwell among your people, inhabit your people. Lord, let us go out with the power of the living God. We come into your presence. We want to go out with the presence of God. And Lord, while we're here, we know that you want to touch your people. You love your people. You love us. You're for us. You're 100% for us. And Lord, I just ask that you just move among us tonight. I ask that we just welcome you with open arms. We say, you're our God. We're your children. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We have such a mighty God. We praise you in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, I've been praying about this, and we're going to teach on healing tonight. I've really been praying. Said, Lord, what do you want me to teach on? And I'm going to talk about healing tonight, and I'm going to talk about the 10 lies we believe about healing. I've only taught this one other time. It was about a year ago, and there were so many people healed because they realized they were believing lies that just weren't true. And of course, nobody wants to believe lies, but they just didn't know the truth, and the truth set them free. So that's going to happen tonight. I'm really excited about it. We have a monthly service, as Pastor Carl was talking about, and we've had literally hundreds and hundreds of people get healed. I get testimonies all the time, and it's something that's built over the last 4 years. But I was telling Pastor Carl last week, I got seven testimonies emailed to me within 30 minutes. I get testimonies almost every day of people getting healed. And when I talk about being healed, when I say I'm going to talk about healing, I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about financial healing, emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, relational healing, healings of marriages. We have marriages getting healed. We have people getting saved. We don't even preach on salvation. Just people come to service and get saved. So I want to talk about healing tonight. And then we're going to pray for people. We're going to minister people and ask God to come and touch his people. And so I'm going to talk about the 10 lies we believe, but first, because many people are at different levels regarding healing, I'm going to talk very quickly. I've got a lot to cover, so I need you to listen quickly. I'm going to talk about some foundational things about healing, just three quick things about that are very foundational about healing. And the first one is that God can heal, right? God can heal. If you believe in God, you either believe in God or you don't believe in God. But if you believe in God, you believe that God can heal, right? If you believe in God, he has to be able to heal or he wouldn't be God. And as a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, with God, all things are possible, right? With God, all things are possible. So if you believe in God, by definition, you believe that he exists and that if he exists, he can heal. And so then the question becomes, since healing exists, why does healing exist? And it's for his people, right? God created healing for his people. It's another way of God bringing us back into restoration with him. So God is here to heal you. He is our healer. And so God can heal. The second thing is God does heal. That's who God is. God is the healer. And he tells us in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, he starts it off, he says, I am. He just starts up, I am. And if we were reading it in Hebrew, it would say, I am Jehovah Rapha. That's what it says in the Hebrew. I am Jehovah Rapha, which means I am the Lord who heals you. That's who I am. That's what God says. He says, it's not that something that I do, it's who I am. And when I show up, I heal people. When people come into my presence, I heal them, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes spiritually. In many different areas of our lives, God heals us because it's who he is, because that's who he is, it's what he does. He just does this, and we have to believe this. We have to understand that this is who God is. And let me just say this, doctors don't heal us. Doctors do not heal us. One of my best friends is a surgeon. He can cut on you. He can operate on you, but he cannot heal you, right? He can operate on you, but it's God who heals you. If a doctor sets a broken bone, he can't make the bone heal. He can only set the bone. It's God who heals us. And I love doctors. Some of my best friends are doctors, but we have to understand that it's God who heals us. And we also have to understand that Jesus is God. And this is what Jesus did. What did Jesus do on the earth? He did what he saw his Father doing. In Matthew, if you have your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Jesus healed over and over and over again in Scripture because that's what God was doing. And he saw his Father doing this. In Matthew chapter 14, he talks about it again. It says, Matthew 14, verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. He's still moved with compassion for us, and he healed their sick. That's just what he did. He was constantly healing people. And it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still healing today. He is still healing today. The third thing I want to say is that what we believe about healing is important. It's very important what we actually believe about healing. I mean, what we think is important. We may be thinking wrong, we may be thinking right, but what we think is important. I have a friend who's a pastor, and he went to this hotel 3 days in a row to visit someone who was sick. They were up on the third floor, and so he'd go visit them and pray for them, minister to them, then leave. And so on the fourth day, he goes to the hospital, he goes in the elevator, and he pushes the third floor. He goes up the third floor and stops, but the door doesn't open. So he pushes the third floor again, it still doesn't open. So he pushes the open door button, still doesn't open. He goes, oh my gosh. And he likes to talk to himself. You know, the kind of people who talk while they're thinking. He's, oh my gosh. He said, it's not open. And he's pushing the elevator door's not open. Oh my gosh, what's going on? Am I stuck in here? How long am I going to be in here? I could be in here for hours. Oh, it's always worked before. I don't understand what in the world's going on. And he turns around. How many of you know that many hospitals have elevators with a door on each end? The nurses are bent over double just laughing at this guy. Oh my gosh, I'm stuck. What am I going to do? What we think is important. And what we believe is important. What we believe about healing is important. What we believe about God is really, really important. And so the Bible calls it faith. What we believe is basically faith. Faith is what we believe in. And there's something that's important about healing, about what we believe, what our faith is about healing. There are many churches that don't believe that God heals today. And guess what? Nobody gets healed in their churches. I mean, and because nobody gets healed, they believe that God doesn't heal today, because so nobody gets healed. And do you understand what I'm saying? It's very, very important what we believe about healing. And then there's many places in Scripture where Jesus said, hey, your faith has made you well, right? And what we believe, our faith is important. Many places in Scripture. Remember the leper. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. The woman with the issue of blood. The blind man. Your faith has made you well. Many places in Scripture. And then there's another place when he went back to his hometown in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. And it says, he's at his hometown. And it says, and he did not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Now, here's what's interesting about this, because I looked at this scripture in 10 different translations, and it does not say he could not do many miracles there. That's not what it says. It does not say he could not do many miracles there. It says he did not do many miracles there. Now, here's what's fascinating to me. It actually says it does not say he did not do any miracles there because of their unbelief. It just says he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Can I tell you that if you don't believe, God can still heal you? It's a lot harder, I think. Well, I don't think it's a lot harder for God. It's a lot harder for, but we tend to not get healed as much if we don't believe. But God can still heal us even if we don't believe. But he wants us to believe because he's a God that heals today. And so this whole issue of faith, you know, we can have faith and get healed. We cannot have faith and get healed. That's really the truth. Because our faith is not the whole answer. But what we believe is important. What we believe is important, and things happen to us and don't happen to us because of what we believe. I've got an example of this, a little clip. It's a short clip here, if we can put it on the screen, of that believing what we think is important.
And close your eyes and just fall down, okay?
Okay, then Lauren's going to catch you.
Close your eyes,
okay. Okay, it's called the trust fall. Okay, trust fall. Ready, set, go.
What we believe is important. And sometimes we need to change our mind on what we believe. Sometimes we need to change our mind and what we believe about healing. So I'm going to talk about 10 lies we believe about healing. So see if you believe any of these lies. Some of them are very subtle, but they're still lies. They're lies about what we believe about healing. And really, the devil doesn't want us healed, so he tells us lies. Here's what's amazing. The devil will tell us a lie, we'll believe it, and then he'll condemn us for believing it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how unfair is that? But that's just the way he works. But we need to believe the truth. So if you believed a lie, listen, don't get embarrassed. Don't be condemned. Listen, just believe the truth. Change your mind and believe the truth. And let the truth set you free. God loves us. He wants us to know the truth because the truth will set us free. So I'm going to share 10 lies that we believe about healing. These are not in any particular order, but just see if you're believing any of these lies. Lie number one, God will heal others, but he won't heal me. I've talked to so many people who said, well, he'll heal other people, but he won't heal me. Really? God will heal others, but he won't heal me? Listen to Luke chapter 6, verse 19, talking about Jesus. And it says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. He healed them all. Do you know what this word means in the Greek? It means all. He healed them all. He didn't say, I'm going to heal you, but not you. I'm going to heal this group over here, but I'm not going to heal this group. That's not the way God works. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, anyone who believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He doesn't say, I'll save them, but I won't save them. I'll heal him, but I won't heal him. This is a lie that we believe. God will forgive him. He won't forgive me. It's just a lie. So maybe God hasn't healed you yet, but please, please, please don't believe that he won't heal you. He will heal you. Here's another lie, not in any order. I do not deserve to be healed. I do not deserve to be healed. Something similar to that is I'm not worthy to be healed. I've sinned too much to be healed. Listen, none of us are worthy to get healed. None of us deserve to be healed. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we have someone who is worthy. We have someone who died on the cross so that we could become worthy. And we have someone who bore the stripes on his back that we are healed. And it's Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you've appropriated that by grace and by faith and by believing in Jesus Christ. There's this healing that's available to you, and you don't have to become worthy to be healed. You don't have to quit sinning to be healed. Now, you may be sick because you're sinning. Sin can cause disease. But just because you are sick doesn't mean you're in sin. Okay? Sin can cause disease, but just because you're sick doesn't mean you're in sin. You can be sick. You can have a disease and not be in sin. You remember the blind man? And the apostles said, the disciples, they said, hey, Jesus, why is he blind? Why is he blind? What, did he sin or was it his parents? And what did Jesus say? He said, neither one. He was born blind so that for the glory of God to be revealed, that the works of God may be revealed in him. And sometimes there's a timing thing where God wants to be glorified by healing us. So I just want to encourage you, we're all worthy to be healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, none of us are worthy. So it's a lie that we believe. We can confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. James 5, 16. Okay, third lie that we believe, other people need to be healed more than I do. Other people need to be healed more than I do. Can I tell you what's wrong with that? Healing is not a zero-sum game. We've had several healing services at Habitation, and there were some people. I remember the first one, I had people, I wanted to ask God to heal me, but there were other people there that need to be healed more than I do. It's not a zero-sum game. It's not like God has this pot of power over here, and if I heal this person, it takes a little bit of my power, and I heal this person over here, it takes a little bit of my power, and I heal this one, it takes a little bit of my power, and then he runs out of power. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not the way it works. He's got plenty of power to heal everyone. If this person gets healed, it doesn't take away his power to heal you. You understand what I'm saying? I've had many people come up to me and say to me, you know, I used to believe that. And I mean, we had, I don't know how many people that night that said, they were thinking, I don't want to ask to be healed tonight because, you know, my leg hurts, but this guy over here really needs healing. And when they realized it, they just got healed. because it was a lie that they believed. And God wants us to believe the truth. He actually rewards us for believing the truth. God is a God of rewards. He's a rewarder of those who have faith in him. So I want to encourage you, God is not going to run out of healing power. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all, what does all mean? All, who is the head of all principality and power." Lie number 4. See if you believe this lie. "I have prayed many times, but I haven't been healed, so there's no point in praying again." I've prayed many times, but I haven't been healed, so there's no point in praying again. Or, "I've been prayed for many times, and I haven't been healed, so there's no point in praying again or being prayed for again." You know, I remember when I wrote this lie down, I wrote down 20 lies and I just picked these 10. But I remember when I was praying about this lie, I remember Naaman. Remember Naaman, the commander of the army of Syria? And he's a leper. And so he comes to Israel, he comes to Elijah, and Elijah tells him, it doesn't even come out and say, just says, "Hey, just go dip in the Jordan 7 times, you'll be fine." Y'all remember the story? And Naaman gets all mad, but then he's okay. And the servant says, "Hey, if he told you to do some great thing, you would have done that." So he goes, okay. So he goes to the Jordan River, and he dips once. He dips twice, and he keeps dipping. And then it says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14, "So Naaman went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." What if Naaman had only dipped 1 time? What if he'd only dipped 2 times? What if he'd only dipped 5 times? What if he'd only dipped 6 times? Would he have been healed? I don't know. But here's what I do know. Don't stop short of the finish line. I see many people don't get healed because they just quit. They just believe. They believe these lies and they just quit believing God. They quit believing they can be healed. I've been prayed for so many times. I've come down and been prayed for so many times. Listen. Every time we come to the altar, we get altered. Every time we come to the altar, we get altered. Somebody ought to tweet that. Every time we get prayed for, something changes. Something happens. Something's building. Here's what I've seen at Habitation. It just continues to build and build and build and build. We give the testimony. People have faith. They get healed, they come and give more testimonies, and more people have faith, and more people get healed, more people come and get prayed for, more people want to minister, more people want to pray for other people. It's just a building thing. That's what God wants to do. But don't stop short of the finish line. Number 5, I have to have a particular person lay hands on me to be healed. Do y'all see this lie? I have to have a particular person lay hands on me to be healed. It's actually 2 lies. Do you see the 2 lies? So I would have made him into two lies, but then it would have been 11 reasons, lies that we believe, and so I didn't think it would be as neat. I just thought 10 sounded better. But to see the 2 lies, the first one is we don't have to have somebody lay hands on us to be healed. We just don't. I mean, I know they did it in the Bible, but they didn't do it in the Bible every time. I know it's a great method. I'm saying it's a great thing to do, lay hands on people. You do not have to have hands laid on you to be healed. Remember the centurion's servant? Jesus sent a text. Be healed. Didn't lay hands on him, right? We've had people get healed over the internet. We've had testimonies from China and Poland and England. We've had all kinds of testimonies from people getting healed. No one laid hands on them. We have testimonies from people. I wish I could have time to share. We had one lady get healed. Okay, she's in her bedroom, and she's watching a service from 2 years before. And I said, "So if you have this, stand up, and God's going to heal you," you know. And she thought, and she wasn't even a Christian. Not even a Christian. Didn't go to church. But she'd heard about Habitation somehow. It's 2 years old. And I'm saying, "So stand up. And we'll get prayed for." And she said, "I'm not going to stand up. There's nobody even there. I mean, this is 2 years old." And then this voice said, "Why don't you stand up?" And she said, but nobody will see me." And this voice says, "I'll see you." And she got healed. And then she came to church and got saved and got baptized. And all God wants to restore us to him. And one of the ways he does it is through healing. I can't tell you how many people have been healed over the internet. We have about, I don't know, 5,000 people that watch our service on the internet. We have so many people get healed. Okay, so we don't have to have hands laid on us. And then a particular person. We don't have to have a particular person. Listen, this may shock you, but I've never healed anyone. I healed one person. It's my job to pray. It's his job to heal. He's the healer. He's the healer. So we don't have to have a particular person lay hands. We've had so many people healed. We had this guy come into the service, and he's got, I think it was cancer, if I remember right. He had cancer, and he heard about habitation, so he came to the service, okay? And the service is ending. There's nobody been prayed for prayer or anything like that, and he's kind of desperate. I mean, he needs healing. And so what he doesn't realize, he's in pre-service prayer. He got there early, and he's in pre-service prayer. And so they're wrapping up, you know, because we have this little time between pre-service prayer and the service starting. And so he's desperate. They're wrapping things up, and he knows they're wrapping. So he leans forward to the guy ahead of these two guys and said, "Would you pray for me?" And they prayed for him in pre-service prayer. He got healed of cancer. I mean, it's just crazy. See, we don't have to have some particular person pray for us. Okay. I won't beat that one up. Okay, number six. I didn't feel anything when I received prayer, so God must not have healed me. I didn't feel anything when I received prayer. Anybody believe this lie? You don't have to raise your hand, but I didn't feel anything when I received prayer, so God must not have healed me. I don't see that in the Bible, right? I mean, as a matter of fact, none of these are in the Bible, right? That's why they're lies, right? We don't have to feel anything. I would say half the people who get healed at habitation don't feel anything. Some people feel this warm feeling. Some people feel like the oil is being poured on them. Some people, you know, like electricity going through a body. I'd say half the people feel absolutely nothing. We have many testimonies of people. Matter of fact, when I get them on stage sometime and ask them, "Did you feel anything?" They go, "I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything." You don't have to feel something to be healed. Number seven, I wasn't totally healed, so I'm not really healed. Let me tell you the corollary to that one. God, if you believe that, here's what you believe. God only heals in miracles. If you believe I wasn't totally healed, so I'm not really healed, then you believe that God only heals in miracles, because there's a difference between miracles and healing. Miracles happen instantaneously, and they supersede the natural order of the universe. So you shouldn't be able to be healed. You have an incurable disease. God comes in and instantly heals you, overrides the natural laws supernaturally, and does a miracle, okay? And then there's healing. Healing usually takes over time, but it's still something that God is doing. It's usually supernatural, and God heals you over time. The Bible clearly talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it talks about the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. Two different gifts, the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. There's a gift of faith, there's a gift of prophecy, 9 different spiritual gifts listed there, gifts of the Holy Spirit who distributes as he sees need. And so the Holy Spirit works through us. Listen, don't ever feel like it's my job to heal somebody. Your job is to pray. It's the Holy Spirit's job to work a gift of healing or a miracle through you. It's the Holy Spirit who does that. He's the one who distributes these gifts as he chooses, okay? So don't feel like that you're the one that has to heal people. But if you believe I wasn't totally healed, so I'm not really healed, then you believe that God has to do a miracle. But the truth is, Jesus healed people. We know that remember the 10 lepers that were healed as they went? As they went to testify to the priest, they weren't healed instantly. They weren't healed miraculously, what people would term miracles happening instantly. They were healed as they went. Jesus healed people over time. There were situations where he did that. He still does that today. And here's something that I've noticed that's been fascinating to me. When God starts healing someone, many times he'll just keep on healing them. If they'll get with his program and they'll believe what he's doing, they'll do what he's saying, he'll just keep healing them. Sometimes he'll heal them with that and go, "Well, they really believe, so I'm going to heal them with this." And he'll heal them with several things, because he loves people who have faith. He loves people who believe in him. And so if you'll get with his program, do what he says. I've seen this so many times. If he starts healing you and you get in with him, what he's doing, he'll just keep healing you. I've seen it many, many, many times. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what God does. Once he starts something, he just keeps doing it. It's like he can't stop. Wow, I'm already going. I might as well finish it. That's the way God is. Number eight. This is one that people believe. That's just a lie. I have had this problem too long for it to be healed. I have had this problem too long for it to be healed. Can I tell you that healing delayed is not healing denied? Healing delayed is not healing denied. Maybe it's just not time for you to be healed yet. I don't know why, but we read about it all the time in the Bible. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had the issue of blood for 12 years. Remember the lady that was bent over with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years? Remember the guy at the pool of Bethesda over 30 years? He'd been in that state, it says, before he finally got healed. Why were they not healed quicker? I don't know. I think the longest we've had at Habitation, I know one lady, 22 years. She was at her grandfather's abandoned house. She stepped to the floor somewhere in Tennessee, broke her ankle in three places, or three different bones, and so they took her to this little clinic, and they had to set it, and so they set her ankle wrong. She was in pain for 22 years. She could not carry a baby up a stair. She's in her, I think, her 60s, but she watched this baby. When she went up the stairs, she had to walk sideways because her ankle wouldn't bend. And she came to a healing service, or I don't know, we prayed for joints or whatever it was, and she just felt this warmth in her foot and then got healed. I mean, just totally, she couldn't get on her toes. There were so many things she couldn't do that now she could do after 22 years. 22 years, think of it. Healing delayed is not healing denied. Number nine, I'm just about finished. My problem is too small to be healed. Anybody ever think that? I got a little problem, it's no big deal. God doesn't care about this little problem. It's too small for God. He doesn't pay attention to stuff like that. Anybody ever thought that? Anybody want to raise their hand? No? Okay, I know there's some people here. God cares about the small things. Listen, he cares about every detail of our lives. Listen to these scriptures. Matthew 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? He cares about the sparrows. Surely he cares about us. Every detail of our life, he cares about them falling to the ground. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, the next verse. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I think that's why God allowed baldness. They have less hair to keep track of. I don't know. Okay. Sorry. I mean, it's been a long day, Pastor Carl. I mean, it's been a long day. Okay, last one. Here's the big one. It's not in order, though. This isn't a big one. This is a big one. My problem or my condition is too big to be healed. Wow. My problem or my condition is too big to be healed. I got one thing to say to that. Your problem is not bigger than the problem Lazarus had. For those who are new Christians, Lazarus was dead. Your problem is not as big as Lazarus. Here's what I wonder. I wonder if an angel ever said to God, do you think that one's too difficult for you? I mean, I don't know if God even understands the word difficult. Nothing's too difficult for God. You know, no one ever brought someone to Jesus, and Jesus said, oh, that one's too hard. A pass on this one. Next, right? Jesus never did that. I really don't think God understands the word difficult or hard. Nothing is too difficult for God. Here's the same God that created the universe and spoke it into existence. The universe. And your problem is too big for God to heal? I'm just telling you, how many, four people now have broken their bones? Four or five, I don't know, at least, and got prayed for? And the bones went back together, and they took an x-ray and couldn't even tell that the bones had ever been broken. I mean, we had four or five people. We had so many people. I mean, things you just go, wow, really? And I'm gonna share a couple of them here in just a second. But we got a little video that I want to share. Nothing is too difficult for God. Here's what Ephesians chapter 3:20 says. God can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or ask. If you can ask God to heal you, he can do more than that. Remember, he may get going in there and just not stop. You know, he may like take away some wrinkles or something, or, you know, take off a little weight, or I don't know. Well, that's probably not sensitive, was it, honey? I'm trying to lose some weight right now, so it's kind of my mind. God can do more than we can think or ask. If we can think it or ask it, he can do more. That's just the way it is. Listen, he is the God who heals us. Okay, so I, you know, obviously 30 minutes or so, I can't explain divine healing. But I want to tell you, don't believe those lies. There are lies from the pit of hell. And if the enemy can keep you bound in those lies, keep you believing those lies, he can keep you in sickness. He can keep you in disease. He can keep you in fear. All these lies that the enemy's main tactic is to lie to us. Here's what Smith Wigglesworth said. He who understands healing understands God. He who understands healing understands God. And nobody understands God. That's his statement. He who understands healing understands God, and nobody understands God. So do I understand healing? No, I've studied for 25 years probably. I don't understand it. I don't understand why God heals this one, doesn't heal this one, or why he heals this one now and this one later, and I don't know. I don't understand. But here's what I do know. God is a healer. I've seen him heal hundreds and I guess thousands of people now. I've seen him heal thousands of people, testimony after testimony after testimony. And here's also what I know. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He heals somebody who we don't think deserves it, and maybe not heal someone until he heals them ultimately in heaven, which is obviously the greatest healing. God is a healer. So I want to play a little clip here. It's our job to pray. It's God's job to heal. So a guy came up to me about 3 months ago, honey, 3 months ago after the habitation service, and he was a pilot, and he was in heart failure, and his heart was operating maybe 20, 25%. And he said, would you pray for me? It was me and Melody and this other lady on our prayer team. And I said, I think God's going to heal me, but I'll never work it. They're telling me I'll never work again. I'm done. And so it was really this weird thing. I said, and what do you want of God? What do you want? He had all his faith, strong Christian. I said, what do you want? He said, and he told me what he wanted. So that was 3 months ago. 2 months ago, I had him come up and share a testimony. So this is a clip of that testimony. The testimony is actually about 7.5, 8 minutes long, and so we've cut it down to about a little over 3 minutes. But I think you'll get the gist of it. So if we have that clip, if we could just play this clip.
The 14th of November, I came home from a trip, and I'm an airline pilot, and I was having problems breathing, coughing, a lot of different things was going on. What I thought was a respiratory infection got really, really interesting because I went to my doctor, and they prescribed some medication. I went home, the symptoms got worse, where I could not breathe, I could not sleep, I could not breathe. Went back to the doctor, and he told me that I was having some heart problems, specifically my heart was enlarged, that my wife needed to take me to the emergency room at Baylor immediately. He wouldn't even allow me to drive. When I got there, they ran a bunch of tests. They ran a bunch of tests, and they told me that I had dilated cardiomyopathy, heart failure. So I'm like, Lord, why is this happening to me? I never had any health issues before. Who is going to take care of my wife? Who's going to take care of my son? And I just started to pray. The doctors came in, cardiologists came in, and it just got really, really dark. They told me that the efficiency of my heart had been reduced down to about between 20 and 25%. I asked the Lord that night.
So what did the doctor say at that point? What's your prognosis? What about your job?
You'll never fly again. Forget about the aviation career. Forget about all those different things. Right now, we need to basically kind of keep you stable because this could get worse and we may have to transplant your heart.
There's a deal called ejection fraction. I looked this up, and normal is 50 to 55%. Okay, he was at 20 to 25%. If it goes to 19% or below, you go on a heart transplant list. So he's at 20 to 25, 19%. And you told me they sent you home with a vest, a life vest.
Yeah, they sent me home with a life vest 4 days later, which was a portable defibrillator to shock me just in case my heart failed. And I just prayed and I said, Lord, I'm not wearing this. And I just prayed and I said, Lord.
Okay, hang on a second. We're going to do a little disclaimer right here.
Lord, I believe it.
You didn't tell me this part. Okay.
No, it just came back to me. Lord, I said, Lord, you've done it for, you've healed other people. You can heal me. I believe it. I want to see you do it for me. In order for me to go back to work, the FAA requires me to have an injection fraction minimum of 40%. That's considered the high, I guess if you want to take a test, like a 90 percentile. All right. And I said to Pastor Steve, I want 50. I don't want 40, I want 50. Last week, I took a mugger scan. On the mugger, it said 57%.
Is that amazing? Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
He got a standing ovation for that, but actually God got a standing ovation for that. I mean, he was done. You'll never go to work again. You'll never fly again. Nothing we can do. No medicine will help you. No surgery will help you. The only thing you can do, if you get 2% worse, you're going to get your heart transplanted. And God, literally a month later, supernatural. This was 2 months ago. And then last month, we had a couple testimonies. This actually happened a couple years ago, but it's kind of funny when people get healed or something happens. Sometimes they don't send it in for a couple of years. So I got this testimony a couple of months ago. And so last month I shared it about two boys. And we had a word of knowledge that God wanted to heal eyes. So they were 13 and 14 or 12 and 13, something like that. But they both wore glasses for 7 or 8 years, both of them, two brothers. And so the first one had very severe astigmatism in both eyes. And so he wore glasses. And he stood up for prayer. His parents prayed for him. Well, some of our habitation prayer team prayed for him. And he said, after about a week, he thought, I can't see it on my glasses anymore. He's like, I can't see. So he takes them off and can see 20/20. God totally and completely healed his eyes. I mean, it was amazing. So his brother, isn't that amazing? So his brother's not even there. Now his brother has a lazy eye and he had dyslexia. So he had really trouble reading, and when he tried to read, he wore glasses. When he tried to read, though, his left eye would not track. It wouldn't track normally, but also wouldn't track when he tried to read. So he can only read with one eye, and then he's dyslexic. I mean, it's kind of a problem. He's not even there. And so his mom stands up for him. And so people lay hands on his mom, pray for his mom, and he gets healed. I mean, it's unbelievable. He goes to he already had the specialist appointment set up like 2 weeks later. He goes to the specialist appointment, and the specialist says, well, now tell me again why you're here. There's nothing wrong with you. Totally and completely healed. Totally and completely healed. And we just see testimony. God is a healer. Same service last month. Young man came up. Name was Matthew, and he's 13 years old. He's just got a lot of faith. And he came up and asked for prayer, and so Melody and a couple of people prayed for him. His parents said he has scoliosis, which is a curvature of the spine this way, and he has kyphosis. So it's the upper part of the spine that's curved. The upper part of the spine is supposed to be at an angle of 45 degrees, okay? In the last 6 months, he'd gone from 61 degrees to 71 degrees. So this young man is standing like this. So he's talking to us, and he's kind of having to look like this and put his head up because he's bent over. And they said there's nothing we can do except surgery because we can put him in a brace and it'll slow it down, but it's incurable. The only thing you do is surgery and rods. He's 13 years old, so he's got kyphosis and he's got scoliosis. So we prayed for him, and he had a lot of faith. He really did. It's amazing. So the next month, I get an email. So his scoliosis, so he goes back to the doctor. His scoliosis is totally gone. And his kyphosis went from 71 degrees to 52 degrees. And so I'm excited because I'm like, okay. So I said, I brought him up on the platform, gave a testimony. I said, now we're going to pray for him. But let me tell you something. He's going to be 45%. said this, 52% is within like normal range, but I said this is a done deal. 45% is a done deal. Because when God starts doing something like this, he won't stop. If we'll just keep believing him and cooperating with him, he will not stop. I said, this is a done deal. So I said to the father, I said, so when are you going to take him back to the doctor? He goes, we're not taking him back to the doctor. The doctor said we didn't have to come back. Why would we go back to the doctor? Totally and completely healed. That's what God wants to do. He is a healer. I don't know. I shared maybe 8 or 10 other testimonies of that service. I just get them all the time. And I'm not, listen, please, I'm focused tonight on physical healing. But God wants to heal us in many ways. Sometimes we get healed emotionally, we get healed physically. Sometimes we get healed financially, we get healed physically. Because financial stress us out, and then stress causes disease. And many doctors say many diseases are caused by stress. So here's what I want to ask you tonight. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is he telling you, don't believe this lie anymore? You believe this lie, it's just not true. Maybe you believe that God doesn't heal today. Listen, I've got proof. You need proof? I got proof. Look at the video. We got many, many of those. MRIs and all kinds of stuff. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Maybe he's telling you today, I want to heal you. Maybe he's telling you today, I love you. Maybe you've wondered, is God really a good God? God is 100% for you. The devil is 100% against you. But God is 100% for you, 100%. He is for us. He loves us. So let's just take a second, take a moment, and why don't you say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to do in my life? What are you trying to accomplish? What do I need? What lie do I need to change my mind about? So let's just take a moment, take a few minutes here, and let's just ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me tonight? What are you saying to me? The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Holy Spirit, what truth do you want to speak to us tonight? I know you want to touch your people, Lord. Touch your people with miracles and healings and salvations, restoration of finances and restoration of relationships and families and marriages, restoration of people to you, restoration of broken hearts, restoration from disease. That's all healing is restoring us from disease and sickness. Lord, what do you want to do? And I want to say this really clearly. Do not feel condemned if you haven't been healed. Do not feel condemned. Maybe it's just not time yet. I love that scripture in Acts chapter 2 about the day of Pentecost. It says, when the day had fully come, it was building and building for centuries and decades and hundreds of years and thousands of years. And when the day had fully come, the Holy Spirit came, and your healing could be today. Don't stop short of the finish line. Don't believe these lies. It's too big to be healed, or I've been prayed for before, or I've prayed before, or it's too small, or someone else needs healing more than I do. Whatever it might be, don't believe the lies. Believe the truth. Believe the truth that God is a healer. He tells us in Psalm 103 that he washes away all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. We believe he'll wash away our sins. Do we believe he'll heal our diseases? God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. More than you can ask or think. God, would you just love me? Would you pour out your love on me? More than you could ask, more than you could think.
Scripture says in 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." God's desire, his love for each of us, is that we would prosper and be in health. Not just prosper without being whole. Not just being whole without prospering. But God wants us, because you're his beloved. You are his beloved. You are a child of the King. And he wishes and desires above all that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes healing can begin in the body and then enter the soul, but sometimes it begins in the soul and enters the body. And I just sense that the Lord is wanting to heal and restore your soul, some of you, your soul, your mind, your will, emotions. Even now the Holy Spirit is ministering as I am speaking, and the healing will begin in your soul, and then you'll see it in your body, and then where it seems that the blessings of God have been stopped up, the prosperity of God's blessing will begin to manifest in your life. Thank you, Lord.
Psalm 23:3 says, I don't know this 23rd Psalm, what we don't catch is Psalm 23:3, it says, he restores my soul. God's the only one who can restore our soul, but he can do it. And I just, man, when you were saying that, Pastor Carl, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything, but I'll tell you something that'll destroy our soul is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. I saw some people looking at their spouse. I'm not going to point them out. I'm not going to have you stand. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping it'll kill the other person. And I just felt like there's, and I've asked people sometimes, do you have anybody you need to forgive or you have unforgiveness toward? And they'll go, I remember one lady in particular, she said, no, I don't have anybody I need to forgive. So really, can we just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anyone that you may need to forgive? 7 people. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. I mean, sometimes we think we've forgiven someone, but when their name comes up, it just kind of, something happens right here. This little ping, like, oh, I can't believe, oh, you know, or in our brain, just, can we get this? This means we haven't really forgiven them, because God doesn't do that. God doesn't forgive us like that. Oh, I can't believe I had to forgive them, or they don't deserve that. It's not the way God forgives. So I'm just going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to just remind you of anyone that really you just haven't really totally forgiven. And sometimes we forgive someone, they do something else, and we get take up an offense again, or we get bitter at them, or unforgiveness. So Holy Spirit, would you just speak to every person here who needs to be reminded,
yes, Lord,
about forgiving someone. The Bible doesn't tell us they need to come to us and ask forgiveness. The Bible doesn't say that. Bible just tells us forgive them, whether they deserve it or not. And the reason why is because it's good for you to forgive. It helps restore your soul. Helps heal your soul. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew 18, if we don't forgive, God will send the tormentors against us.
Yes.
Sickness and disease, and worry and fear and insomnia. Forgiveness is so important. So important that how many times do we have to forgive Jesus? 70 times 7. So, Father, I just ask right now, if there's someone here that needs to forgive someone, would you just point it out to them? Holy Spirit, would you just bring them into all truth regarding this? That they would just forgive. I remember teaching on this and hundreds of people got healed. We weren't even teaching on healing. But when they forgave, just symptoms just started disappearing.
Amen.
They just got healed.
Amen.
So Holy Spirit, would you reveal there's that little part of bitterness or unforgiveness that anyone holds in their heart towards someone, they would just forgive them, release them. Just let them go. Let it go. Cancel the debt. Forget it. Choose to remember no more. Thank you, Lord.
Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Mm-hmm. I just sense that the Holy Spirit is also extending this word of knowledge, Pastor Steve, that every time we harbor an offense and we don't release it to the Lord, every time we harbor an offense, we open a door to the enemy. And the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we're not to give the enemy a foothold. So please, I implore you, the Spirit of the Lord implores you through me tonight. As the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God. And so the Spirit of the Lord is really saying, I feel this really heavy, this heavy anointing right now. The Lord is imploring some of you, I beseech you in the name of the Lord to immediately, when an offense tries to attach itself to you, release it to the Lord. Jesus hung on that cross, and after he was brutalized and abused and mistreated in the most horrible and hideous way, it didn't stick to him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The Lord is saying, stop letting other people's issues become your issue. Stop letting other people's problem become your problem. Stop taking up other people's offenses. And as you release them and you begin to make your life sacred ground, holy ground, that no offense will be welcome into my spirit from this day forward, you will begin to see the heavens above opening over your life and blessings cascading down from heaven upon your life this day forward, says the Lord.
I want to share a couple of spiritual principles that God's kind of showed us at Habitation. One of them is the principle of the testimony. In the Old Testament, if you look at the word testimony, it has this concept of God do it again. And it's really fascinating because what happens is somebody will get healed or something will happen, their finances will be restored or they'll get a job. It's really amazing. And then we'll give a testimony, then other people will get healed or other people, finances will get restored or other people will get a job. It's absolutely amazing. Marriage will get restored. And so one of the things that happens was we had lots of women who couldn't get pregnant. And what really happened was we had a word of knowledge that God wanted to heal growths and tumors and cysts and things like that. And so a couple women hadn't been able to get pregnant, and the cysts disappeared, and they got pregnant. And so we got up and shared a testimony. And then like 2 months later, I get like three or four more testimonies. And then so we share another testimony. And then the longest one was 13 years. Right, honey? 13 years where they were trying to have a baby, and she had cysts on both ovaries, and one of the cysts disappeared, and you only need one ovary, apparently. So anyway, she got pregnant. And 13 years, can you imagine? 13 years trying to get pregnant.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then, to this day, we just have women getting pregnant and cysts disappearing and growths and tumors. It's really amazing. Because God kind of goes, yeah, you see that one? I can do better than that. He really does. I mean, it's like, what's this? You thought that was good. What's this one? I mean, it's something about his word and this word testimony that does it. So if you have a heart problem, and here's the way I like to do this, or know someone who does. You may be embarrassed. Go, I don't want to stand up. So if you know someone who does, we'll pray. You can stand in for that person. Listen, I don't understand that one either. Like, you know, who understands healing? But it works. So I've seen many people healed who weren't at the service. Kind of like they weren't there. You know, they're watching a 2-year-old video. I mean, who can figure that out? No one can figure that out, okay? So, but if you have a heart problem, whether it's an enlarged heart or arrhythmia or heart failure, congestive heart failure, your heart skips a beat, or if you know someone who has a heart problem, would you just stand? We just want to pray over you. Well, this is awesome. I mean, not awesome, maybe people standing, but what? I mean, listen, we have never, to my knowledge, we've never had a word of knowledge that at least one person didn't get healed, and usually it's many people. Never. I mean, if God says something, he will perform his word. You can take it to the bank. God will never tell you something he won't do, ever. Now, you may mishear him, or you may not like his timing, but he will never say something. His word. He says, I will not send it out and it will return void. Never. Never happens. We've never, to my knowledge, had a word of knowledge where I didn't get a testimony about that. At least one, usually many testimonies about God honoring his word. The word of God is living and powerful. It is not dead. It is not a book. This is not necessarily the word of God. This is some of the word of God. But when he speaks, he Amen. Speaks with power. And when he Amen. Speaks, he brings life. And yes. he tells us his word is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing between the divisions, joints of marrow, and soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when he speaks his word has power. And there's what's called a word of knowledge, where he's speaking something that could not be known in the natural, but he's speaking something that he wants to do. And he's bringing knowledge to that situation, or he's bringing knowledge of what he wants to do. And so it's called a word of knowledge. So right now, Father, in Jesus' name,
thank you, Lord.
I don't know if y'all do this here, but you want to lay hands on somebody next to you or whatever, you can do that.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're comfortable doing that, lay it like on their shoulder, someplace
yes,
really, really, really appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Holy Father.
There's so much power in this room.
Thank you, Holy Jesus.
Remember in Luke, what was it, Luke 5, where it said the presence, the power of the Lord was present to heal?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We have so much power living in us because we have the Holy Spirit living in us.
Thank you, Lord.
It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming through us, using his gifts through us. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray right now that you would touch heart problems. Lord, that you would fix heart problems. You repair heart problems. You restore hearts to their normal function. Lord, if there's hearts that are clogged or arteries that are clogged, we ask that you would clear them out. Lord, if someone has congestive heart failure, Lord, we ask that you would restore their heart. If they would go back to the doctor, he said, this is impossible, but your heart function is improved. We never see this, but your heart function is actually improved.
Yes.
And when that happens, it just keeps improving because God is a healing God. Lord, we ask for any kind of arrhythmia or any kind of enlarged heart, Lord, any kind of heart problems at all, Lord, we ask that you would touch every person here, every person represented here. We ask that you would touch them, and that you would heal them, that your supernatural power would go forth and touch people's heart. We ask this right now in Jesus Christ's mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Praise
Can we give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. I want to pray for joints. Physical joints. if you have a problem with joints, we'll pray for that too. But I can't tell you how many knees and backs and shoulders and I mean, elbows, and I mean, I literally, I can't even guess. And, you know, it's like, that just sounds crazy that people's joints get healed. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, listen, when I get testimonies, it's like unbelievable. And listen, I want to say this. Come to Encounter. Here's the second principle I want to talk about. It's like God just kind of revealed this to me. It's the principle of corporate anointing. The principle of corporate anointing. See, each one of us, if you're a Christian, you have an individual anointing, okay? And the individual anointing is the Holy Spirit on you, in you, and working through you. That's an individual anointing. The Holy Spirit on you, in you, and working through you. So when we come together, with our individual anointings, it produces this corporate anointing, okay? And God will do things in a corporate anointing that many times he just won't do for an individual. This corporate anointing, this corporate presence, this corporate expectation, that God responds to expectation, and he will do things in a corporate anointing that he just won't do individually. Probably one of the best examples is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down in tongues of fire and baptized them in the Holy Spirit. We don't see that happening individually that way. We've never seen it before, probably never see it again. But God, because they were individually together, there's this corporate anointing. Jesus sent them out two by two. Why? Because there's a corporate anointing with two that's greater than the individual anointing of one. It's just something God does. I've seen it over and over and over. And so here's what happens. So here's this corporate, all our individual anointings, we're all together, there's this corporate anointing. God does things in a corporate anointing he won't do many times in any other way. And so what happens is people's faith gets built. And the Holy Spirit moves. And they get excited. And they go out and they start telling people. And they start witnessing and they start praying for people. And God does more and their individual anointing goes up. I've just seen it so many times. Their individual anointing goes up. Okay? Well, guess what? When they come back together, the corporate anointing goes up. And because there's a greater corporate anointing, God does more. And he just does more. Right? And then they get all excited. Everybody's excited. What God's doing, it's amazing. And so they go out and they're excited. They're telling people. They're inviting their friends. And guess what? More people come with more individual anointing. And it raises the level again. And God does more. And it's a process. It takes process over time. But if you'll come and bring your individual anointing to the encounter services, then what will happen is the corporate anointing will start getting built up. And God will start doing more things. And you'll get more and more excited. And then you get more and more anointing. You want to read the word more. You want to pray more. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit more. And you get more of an individual anointing, and you come back and there's more work. You understand what I'm saying? And it just builds and builds and builds. That's what God wants to do. And it starts out slow, and it's, you know, I remember the first few services we had, you know, like it seemed like nothing was happening, but we just kept praying, and we had a group of 35 people, and we just prayed, God, we know you want to show up. We know you called us to do this. And God just started doing stuff. And we gathered together, and we said, it's our responsibility as a prayer team for our individual anointing to rise. And so we'll bring more to the next one, and there's more corporate anointing. And people, I'm just telling you, it just builds. So I want to encourage you to do it. I just felt like I was supposed to share that,
amen,
Pastor Carl. So anyway, so come to the encounter service. Bring your anointing. Get more anointed, and then come bring your anointing, okay? All right, so what was that? Joints? Yeah, right? Okay, joints. Okay. So so if you have a joint, shoulder, neck joint, back joint, knee, elbow, ankle, whatever. I'm sure there's more joints, but I'm just telling you, this is really weird. This happens so many times. It's absolutely unbelievable. People just one day they just realize I can play tennis again. I can run again. I couldn't do it before. And you'll start doing things you haven't been able to do in years. I mean, I really want to build your faith for this because I'm telling you, God's going to heal joints tonight. I've just seen it so many times. It's so exciting. Okay, so can we press in? Can we believe God? Can we have faith? Can we do that together? Can we believe God? God is here. He is here. Can you feel him? Can you feel the presence of the Lord just getting greater in here? Listen, when he shows up, it's like he starts healing people and can't stop. I mean, I'm telling you, it's so amazing. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we just, this is many people are going to get healed tonight of joint problems. Shoulders are not going to hurt anymore. Rotator cuffs are going to be healed. Bursa sacs are going to be restored. Inflammation is going to disappear. People that couldn't walk straight or walk correctly are now going to be able to walk. I remember the guy that was in his 70s, no, early 80s, and one of our guys just walked by and laid his hand on him. Remember this melody? It's like he was 60 years old. Remember his son got up, gave his this guy's in his 80s. I thought he was going to run around the sanctuary. I mean, it was just so amazing what God can do. It's just amazing. That was amazing. Yes. Okay, Father, we just ask that arthritis, arthritic joints, we ask that you remove arthritis, that you restore fluid to joints where where they used to pop and crack and ache, Lord, that you would just restore them, and they just have total, complete movement with no pain, no inflammation, no arthritis.
Yes, Lord,
we just ask that you would touch people's joints. Restore backs, Lord. Restore discs and ligaments and tendons. Let them be at their proper tension. And Lord, if they need to be lengthened, lengthen them. If they need to be shortened, shorten them. If you need to strengthen muscles, strengthen muscles. Lord, do miracles for your people, because your people love you and you love your people. God, I just ask you to do it. I ask Holy Spirit, just move about the room and touch people. Come like a wave and just touch people.
Praise you, Lord.
Lord, just come. Come and touch your people. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. You heal your people because you love them.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Where we go?
If anyone has a skin problem.
Did you say a skinny problem?
Skin.
Oh, I was like, I'd like to have that problem.
We have a problem hearing up here is what we have. Turn the monitors up, right? You have a problem on your skin, a rash, maybe some skin cancer that you've been diagnosed with, anything that, you know, is just related to a skin condition that you or maybe you're a child, maybe an infant, may have, just to stand to your feet. And we want to pray just God's healing touch in those areas. Maybe a blotch that's appeared, something that you have struggled with. Just stand to your feet, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for creative miracles in this place. We thank you for the divine healing touch of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for any type of skin rash, irritation, any kind of cancer.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you right now for your healing touch, your divine touch right now. I thank you, Lord, that you could make a skin brand new, like baby skin, Lord God. We just believe and we exercise our faith. And, and just by faith now, just say, Lord, thank you. I receive your healing in my flesh, even as Naaman's flesh, the leprosy left,
yes,
and his skin was made brand new in
thank
Jesus'
you, Lord.
Name, Lord. God, you
thank
can even
you, Lord.
Heal acne, God. Thank you for your divine touch right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are not our own, they're yours, and Lord, you care about every part of our body, every part of our being, Lord. And we thank you now for your healing touch in Jesus' name.
And Lord, tumors and growths, we just ask that you would just remove them right now. Cysts, Lord, we ask that you remove them in Jesus' name. It's somehow just amazing to think that God does this. It's just amazing to think. Tumors and cysts, Lord, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cancerous, gross, just be gone in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you have an autoimmune disease or someone has one that you know, would you stand up? Some kind of autoimmune disease. I wish I could remember some of the names of them, but I don't think it really matters. I think God knows the names. Sometimes, not always, sometimes an autoimmune disease, sometimes, is when we don't love ourselves or we hate ourselves. And our body is doing in the natural what we're doing in the spiritual. So one thing I want to say is that, not always, I mean just sometimes, but I've just seen several people this has happened to. There may be one person here tonight that's the case. So I want to encourage you to learn to love yourself. The Bible tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? Second commandment. So I just want to encourage you to love yourself. See yourself the way God sees you. So, Father, we just come. If someone there is here that needs to love themselves, Lord, I ask you would show them
Thank
how to do
Lord
it.
Jesus.
Love is a choice. They would choose to
Thank
love themselves
Lord
every day. They choose to love God every day. They choose to love others
you, Father.
Every day. And Lord,
you
just heal them. That autoimmune disease is caused by that not loving themselves, not feeling Thank like they're worthy, not feeling like they have some importance or destiny or that people don't love them or people don't like them. Whatever it might be, Lord, I ask that you would change their thinking. They would make a choice to love themselves. In Jesus' name. And Lord, any autoimmune disease here, Lord, we just speak to that autoimmune disease. That we tell the body to quit attacking itself. We tell the body to recognize what it's supposed to be attacking and recognize what it's not supposed to be attacking and to quit attacking those cells that it's not supposed to attack. Lord, we speak healing over every person here with an autoimmune disease. Lord, we speak over diabetes right now. We've had so many people healed of diabetes. Lord, we just speak healing over diabetes. The blood sugar would stabilize. The pancreas would
be
do normal and put the right amount of insulin into the blood at the right time. Lord, we just ask for healing
right now
of insulin.
In the name
right
of Jesus.
Now, or, I'm sorry, healing of diabetes right now. The insulin
Thank
would be,
you,
the levels would be correct and stay correct,
yes,
and that they'd just be able to quit taking their medicine, get off insulin, and be totally and completely healed in Jesus Christ's
Thank you,
mighty
Lord.
Name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We'll pray over eyes real quick. I mean, I wear glasses, so I'm like waiting for mine too. Though, you know, it's really kind of weird when we pray for eyes, like, you know, you have your glasses and they get worse. Mine are getting better. And so I'm not wearing my old ones. I'm wearing my old ones instead of my new ones. It's kind of weird. So I got faith. So anyway, if you need prayer for your eyes, let's say maybe we just had several people. We've had this testimony last month. We already had a couple testimonies of people getting healed. We had one baby, the eyes wouldn't quit producing mucus and tears and all this stuff, got totally healed. I mean, the next day, it's like done, gone. So if you have dry eyes or wet eyes or too many tears, guys, don't pray for your wife. They have too many tears. I mean, I'm talking about like, you know what I'm saying. So anyway, or astigmatism or farsightedness, nearsightedness, whatever it might be. Lord, we just come right now in
Thank
Jesus'
you,
name. We ask for healing of eyes tonight.
Lord,
that you would touch people's eyes.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that you would just reshape
them. Miracles.
That you would, if they, perhaps they're having some kind of degeneration of the cornea or the iris or some part of their eyes, Lord, we ask that you would restore,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Restore the eyes, restore the proper moisture, restore the nerve connectivity from the eyes to the brain.
Thank you, Father,
Lord,
right
we just
now.
Ask for your healing touch. Because you're a mighty, mighty, mighty God. Lord, we just pray that you would encourage people tonight, that you would strengthen them, that you would build up their personal anointings because they've been healed tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, they would go out and tell other people that you'd be glorified.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just glorify you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you're a mighty healing God, that you love your children. So, Lord, any eye problems tonight, Lord, we ask that you would touch them.
Thank
we
you,
ask
Lord.
That you rebuke every demonic attack against people's eyes.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, a spirit of fear. Right now, we say the Lord rebuke you. Lord, you have
Thank
not
you,
given
God.
Us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. There are people here that cannot sleep at night because a spirit of fear
yes,
has come upon them. Fear is never of God. There's a godly fear, but any other fear is never of God. Fear is always of the enemy.
Thank
there are
you,
people
Lord.
Here who wonder, I've had these dreams, and they didn't seem like good dreams, but I wonder if it was from God or from the devil, and fear came from the dreams. Anytime fear comes from a dream, it's never of God. It's always of the devil.
Amen.
God will never use fear to speak to us or to move us. He does not do that.
Perfect love.
And so, His perfect love casts out fear. If we knew how perfectly we are loved, we would not fear.
Cast
so, Lord, there's
fear,
a spirit
Jesus.
Of fear that comes against us. Lord, I say the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke this spirit of fear that we will walk in faith and not fear. We'll walk in love and not fear. We'll believe and not worry and anxiety, and we'll be able to sleep at night. Lord, we come against insomnia in Jesus' name. And Lord, we speak for peaceful, sweet sleep in Jesus Christ's mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.